There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, and there you have it.
There you go.
With the qualifying.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. This is podcast number 1107, August 11th, 2025. Stephen.
This F1 Weekly podcast brought to you by Yahoo Ads. Yahoo Ads bring you the F1Weekly.com website for the ads that interest you. From tickets on the Orient Express to flights to Istanbul, Yahoo Ads gives you the stuff you really want. Click on them, you know you want to.
Thank you, Steve, and thank you, Yahoo Ads. On today's program, we have a special summer break feature with Jose Froline Gonzalez, Grand Prix driver from the golden age of Formula One, when there was no crying and machismo was the only mandatory trait, unlike today. So enjoy this interview. Nasser knew that time was his enemy, and he rushed to Argentina back in 2012 to get the interview. Of course, the interview was complicated. We needed a translator. But this is a good time to brush up on your high school Spanish 101. So enjoy it. And the bonus today, ladies and gentlemen, one of Nasser's favorites, the Cucumber Kid himself, Nahrain Karthikeyan. So enjoy that, ladies and gentlemen. And yes, we do need your contributions to keep this program up on the cloud. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab. You know you want to. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. These are classic Nasser interviews where he goes above and beyond the Call of Duty. And don't forget, Nas, I think about you every day. Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you. This is with Señor Jose Froline Gonzalez, one of the great legends from Argentina. And his claim to fame is that he gave Enzo Ferrari his first Formula One victory in the 1951 British Grand Prix at Silverstone. And this was the race where Enzo made a comment that that day I felt like I stabbed my own mother, because, you know, he used to race Alfa Romeo and was in charge of their racing department for many years. So this was a great day for Argentina, Gonzalez, and of course, Mr. Ferrari. And then a few years later, he won the British Grand Prix again driving for Ferrari. His first Grand Prix was the second race in the 1950 Formula One race, Monaco Grand Prix, which was won by his friend and fellow Argentine, Mr. Fangio. And then he also drove for Maserati, Talbot, Van Wall, and his final race was Formula One race was the 1960 Argentine Grand Prix, and he also was successful in winning the Le Mans 24-hour race with Maurice Trintignant. So it was, for me, it was one of the greatest things to be able to go and touch such an important part of motor racing history. He was in good health. His assistant Ruben was there, who helped me with some photographs and all that. And he had a lot of trophies there, and I asked him which one is the trophy for the British Grand Prix 1951, and he said, "Well, that's at my sister's house." And this interview was arranged through my friend, F1 journalist from Argentina, Ms. Juliana Anish, and this is in what we call Spanglish here in California. I'm asking in English; he's responding in Spanish, and Miss Juliana doing the translation. But for me, it was very, very important to go and meet such an important figure of motor racing history. And I wish him all the best. And I hope our listeners enjoy this conversation with Señor José Fraulein González. Gracias.
Okay, folks, I'm here in Buenos Aires with Señor José Fraulein González, the gentleman who gave Enzo Ferrari his first victory in Formula Uno. Sir, first of all, thank you very much. ¿Cómo estás?
¿Cómo está? Le pregunta.
¿Cómo?
¿Cómo se encuentra?
Bueno, el motor bastante bien. Bien, bien, viste, está un poco, viste, todo medio...
His okay.
El motor está bien todavía.
His
todavía
engine,
tengo algo de nafta, combustible.
He has oil.
Please tell him he is looking great.
Ah, dice que luce muy bien, que se lo ve muy bien.
¿Me encuentra bien?
Sí.
Yo creo que tengo nafta, pero todavía no puse la reserva, ¿viste?
He has oil and he's not, the rest of the oil.
Okay. El 5 de octubre voy a cumplir 89.
His birthday,
89.
Please tell us how you got interested in motor racing growing up in Arrecife.
¿Cómo fue que se empezó a interesar en el automovilismo?
Bueno, primero iba a correr en moto y después empecé a correr en auto en el año 46.
First he was driving a motor, motocross. But then he started to drive in 1948. He started.
Okay. Did you get to know Fangio personally before you went to Europe?
Si conocía a Fangio antes de abrir Europa.
Sí, sí, porque él era muy amigo de mi tío que se mató en el año 40.
Yes,
era compañero eran de la misma, los dos la misma edad. Tenían ahora hubiera cumplido también 100 años. Yo estuve en la fiesta de Fangio de 100 años ahora en Balcarce.
Yes, because his uncle Fangio was very very friendly. So he was in the centenary of Fangio's.
Mi tío se mató en el año 40.
His uncle died in 1940.
The 1950 Monaco Grand Prix was your first Formula One race. It was also the first F1 victory for Fangio. Great day for Argentine motorsports. What do you remember most from that day?
El campeonato de Mónaco, la carrera de Mónaco de 1950 fue su primera carrera de Fórmula 1.
Abrimos el campeonato del mundo hace 61 años.
It was the opening of the Formula One Championship. Y fue también la primera victoria de Fangio.
Sí.
Que fue un gran momento para el automovilismo argentino. ¿Qué se acuerda de ese momento?
Bueno, eso fue una carrera muy importante porque yo corría con una Ferrari del Automóvil Club Argentino, que todavía está el auto. Así que
it was an important race because he drove a Formula One car of the Automóvil Club Argentino. And this car is here, está acá.
Sí.
It's here, this car in the Automóvil Club Argentino.
Así que se puede imaginar. Y abrimos el campeonato del mundo y ese día no tuvimos mucha suerte porque yo había hecho el tercer tiempo. No, el tercer, primero Fangio, segundo Farini y tercero yo. Y hubo un lío en la primera vuelta y se chocaron como 10-15 coches.
He was a crash in the first lap.
Todo eso está en algunos libros que ustedes habrán visto.
Yes.
Y él es periodista, conoce todo.
Yes, yes, he knows. sabe. Él largó Sí, llega un momento, ¿viste? He started in the third position and then he was a crash in the first lap and después del accidente en la primera vuelta.
Bueno, tuve que parar porque resulta que se me prendió fuego el auto, ¿eh?
He had to stop because the car blew up.
The fog.
Yes.
In 1951, you made history that will always be remembered. First Grand Prix victory in Formula One for Commendatore. You beat the maestro to win this race. Any special moments from the race you still remember, as races were very long in those days?
Él pregunta en 1951, que fue su primera victoria. Sí.
Ahora se cumplieron 60 años. El 14 de julio de 1951.
4 de julio, 50?
Ahora.
Claro. Ahí.
60.
¿No? Por eso se lo cuenta con 60.
60 años.
Bien. Bueno, la pregunta, vamos por la pregunta y después completamos con lo que dice usted. Él le pregunta, dice que usted batió al maestro en esa carrera, porque obviamente le ganó a Fangio, y le pregunta qué recuerdo tiene de ese momento.
Ah, Bueno, fue una carrera muy importante para mí y para Ferrari, porque nosotros teníamos una lucha entre Ferrari y Alfa Romeo. Nosotros estábamos en Maranello y ellos estaban en Milano, ¿te das cuenta? Y ellos eran más poderosos porque tenían mucho dinero y nosotros no teníamos mucho.
It was an important race because they competed in Ferrari and the other team was Alfa Romeo. Alfa Romeo has a lot of money and Ferrari hadn't money in that time. So well, that was a big deal for them.
What did Enzo Ferrari say to you first time you spoke to him after this victory?
¿Qué hizo Enzo Ferrari? ¿Qué le dijo la primera vez de cuando habló con usted después de haber ganado? ¿Cuáles fueron las palabras de Enzo?
Bueno, estaba muy contenta porque habíamos batido una cosa importante para Ferrari, porque era la primera carrera por el campeonato del mundo. Y bueno, fue un respaldo muy grande para Ferrari en ese momento, financieramente y con todo lo que pasó en la historia. Porque como el Alfa había ganado en el año 50 y 51 había ganado con Alfa, ¿te das cuenta? Y así que te podés imaginar que fue una gran alegría para el comendatore. Así que yo trabajé bastante, trabajé 3 temporadas con él, así que después trabajamos 2 con Fangio en Maserati, y bueno, y ahí más o menos se va envolviendo la historia.
He was very happy. Well, the answer is so long, but then I won't transcribe, okay? But he was very happy because in 1950 and 1951, Alfa Romeo has won the championship, so it was this win was a big support financially, economically, and every that you think for Enzo and for Ferrari.
You know, in Ferrari, there was always a lot of politics. What was your experience with dealing with Enzo Ferrari and the team?
¿Cómo fue con usted para trabajar para Enzo Ferrari y para el equipo?
Mira, yo nunca tuve problema con Ferrari. Soy el único piloto de la historia de Ferrari que nunca me peleé con él. Todos se pelearon, menos yo.
He's the only driver that he never fight with Ferrari and Enzo.
Now, was Mrs. Ferrari very important in the running of the team and the factory?
It's important what, where?
Mrs. His wife was very dominant.
Yes, yeah. Si su esposa era muy importante dentro del equipo.
No. Bueno.
Enzo Ferrari o his?
No, and his... Mrs. Ferrari.
Mrs. Ferrari. Sí, la esposa de Enzo era importante dentro del equipo, influía dentro del equipo.
Y bueno, yo tenía a Milorese y a Ascari. Te das cuenta, y después cambiaron porque ellos se fueron a la Lancia y bueno, yo me había ido el 72, el 1952 y 53, me fui con Fangio a Maserati, que Ferrari no me quería dejar ir, pero por un poco más de plata que lo dieron a Maserati, yo me fui con Fangio a Maserati, te das cuenta. Y después se armó un lío entre Ferrari y todos los corredores, Farina, Ascari, todos esos se fueron a Lancia Ferrari. Entonces Ferrari me prende otra vez a mí y vino, yo fui con Ferrari, después fue Fangio, se fue a la Mercedes y Onofre Marimón, se mata en un borrín en el año 54, cuando yo gané los 24 horas de Le Mans. Y ahí tuvimos un problema muy serio, viste, porque teníamos los 3 argentinos. En el 54 ganamos todas las carreras con Fangio por campeonato. En el 54 con Fangio ganamos todas las carreras por el campeonato del mundo y por el campeonato europeo, te das cuenta. Que no tienen, porque de campeonatos del mundo había 6 carreras nada más. ¿Te das cuenta? Ahora cambió todo, así que hoy hay 22 carreras.
He spoke about other things, okay?
Whatever you can.
Oh, he talked about Onofre Marimón, his death.
That's coming up in my next.
Yes, well, but he was at a big deal for them when he died, and well, then he moved the team.
Okay.
1954 British Grand Prix. There were three drivers from Argentina in the top four. You were the winner ahead of Ferrari teammate Mike Hawthorn. What is your memory of Mike Hawthorn as a driver and person?
En el Gran Premio de Inglaterra del 54 había tres pilotos argentinos en el top, en los cuatro primeros. Dice, y usted fue el ganador de Ferrari, obviamente. Dice, y Mac Hawthorn, ¿cuáles son sus memorias o sus recuerdos de Mike Hawthorn como persona y como piloto?
Sí, no, ha sido muy buen piloto, pero carrera por el campeonato del mundo creo que no ganó ninguna, pero ha sido un gran piloto.
¿Any race?
Yes, he was a world champion.
Me dice él.
¿Quién?
1958.
¿Quién? En el 58. ¿Mike? ¿Ah, 58? Sí. Ah, parate poquitito. 58 ya no estaba. Yo con la última carrera que corrí fue en el 56, con el Vanguard. Porque estuve paralizado por el asunto
de
la.
Until 1956, he didn't win.
And who were your friends apart from Fangio and other Argentine drivers in Formula 1?
¿Qué otro amigo tenía aparte de Fangio cuando corría en Formula 1?
Era amigo de
todos. He was a friend of all. Everybody was friend of him.
Todos eran amigos míos.
He's still a very friendly gentleman, I must say.
Dice que aún es muy muy amigable usted con todo el mundo. He knows okay.
Señor, in 1954 British Grand Prix, Onofre Mermon was on the podium. 2 weeks later, he was killed in practice for the German Grand Prix, which was won by Fangio. You were second. What was the effect of this tragedy on you personally and professionally?
Dice que el tercer hombre en el podio en esta carrera en el 54 fue Onofre Marimón y dos semanas más tarde se mató en el Gran Premio de Alemania, que era lo que hablábamos antes.
Veníamos peleando un campeonato del mundo. Y yo en la última carrera no corrí, porque yo entraba segundo lo mismo. Uh-huh. Veníamos peleando el campeonato del mundo con Fangio. Y yo dije, no quería correr porque tenía toda la familia, la tenía en contra. Estaba mi papá, mi mamá, mi mujer, la primera señora mía.
He didn't want that race because his family didn't want him to race that day.
No, porque en el 54, en el 54.
Because in 1944. 54.
Éramos tres pilotos que estábamos en los tres, los tres pilotos estábamos en la primera fila con los autos, ¿viste? Fangio estaba en Mercedes, yo estaba en Ferrari y Marimón estaba en Maserati. Miren si me mata Marimón. Yo tengo la foto y todo de eso.
He has the picture of the accident, Ana. ¿Y cómo le afectó emocionalmente?
Un desastre, porque teníamos toda la familia.
He was a mess for him.
Fangio que lloraba, Marimón que estaba con la señora, y se mató el día jueves, porque si se mata el día de la carrera es otra cosa diferente, pero se mató el jueves en la clasificación. Entonces tuvimos todo ese trayecto y toda la familia en contra. No quería que largáramos.
Because all family was there, his family, Marimón's family, everybody was there, so it was awful, it was very, very sad.
Was there any pressure from his family to give up racing after this accident?
Dice si fue una presión su familia le si su familia le digamos le presionaba para que no corriera ese fin de semana.
Y Fangio lo mismo, no quería nadie que corriera, porque estaba la señora de Fangio también.
Nobody wanted that he ran and Fangio either.
Okay, you drove a van wall in the.
Parece que la foto esa la tenemos por ahí.
No, está arriba.
¿Está arriba?
¿La de cuál?
La de Fangio, sí.
Está arriba.
No, pero me parece que en alguna revista de esta está, me parece ahora. Me parece.
En el libro puede estar.
Ah, en el libro, sí. En el libro me parece que sí. Me parece que no. Acá en el libro no. No, pero acá debe haber acá. Por acá va. Así que ellos pueden sacar esa foto que es una foto de recuerdo.
Arriba sí está.
Aquel, la foto aquel la tiene. La cuando está Fangio llorando conmigo.
Ah, sí.
Sí, seguida te la dice.
Sí, no problema.
Ahora se la va a decir. Ahí lo tiene en la computadora.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, in 1954 you also won the Le Mans 24 hours. Okay, in 1954 you won the Le Mans 24 hours with Maurice Trintignant in a Ferrari. Did you enjoy endurance racing as much as Formula 1?
Dice que ese año, en 1954, ganó las 24 horas de Le Mans con Maurice Trintignant.
Con Trintignant, con Maurice.
Exacto. Dice si disfrutó tanto ese tipo de carreras como las de Fórmula 1.
Sí, sí. Fue una de las carreras muy difíciles. Anduve 16 horas del auto sin bajarme.
He drove 16 hours.
La mitad de la carrera.
The half of the race.
Echando nafta, y llovía.
Filling oil. And it was raining.
Hubo muchos accidentes.
You drove a Van Vol in the 1956 British Grand Prix. Did Tony Vanderbilt try to sign you up for the 1957 season?
Dice que manejó un Van Vol en 1956 en el Gran Premio Británico. Y le pregunta si Tony Vanderbilt y trató de que usted firmara para él en el 57.
Justito.
Last race in Europe.
Wow. Y había hecho un buen tiempo en Silverstone, ¿no? Yeah. Y habíamos largado en la primera fila. Hice 100 metros y se me rompió un palier. Listo. Mandé al diablo el diablo.
Good qualifying. He started and he drove 100 meters and he stopped.
Mandé a la mierda el auto. No,
now did Tony Vanderbilt try to sign you up for the 57 season?
Pero trató de firmar con usted, Tony Vanderbilt, en el 57.
Me llevaba para hacerme correr el auto.
Iba a hacer el contrato con él.
He was to sign. And firmó o no? ¿Firmó o no?
No firmé nada. Pues, primero quería ganar.
First he wanted to win and then he wanted to sign, but he didn't sign.
And why?
¿Por qué no firmó? ¿Por qué?
No sirve porque me agarró santa bronca con este auto. Que hice 100 metros y se me rompió un palier.
Because he was very angry because the car stopped. Yes, exactly.
Entonces dejé de correr. Y después empezó otra historia. Cuando gané los campeonatos americanos. Otra cosa diferente.
And then when he started to win a South American Championship.
You drove Maserati, Talbot, Ferrari, Van Vol in Formula One. What was the best Grand Prix car you drove?
Dice que manejó Maserati, Talbot, Ferrari y el Van Vol para Formula 1. De todos, ¿cuál fue el mejor auto el que manejó?
Ferrari,
of course. The first decade of Formula 1 was a golden age for Argentine motorsports. Now we are in an age where the last Argentine Grand Prix winner was Lole in 1981. What will it take to change that, and are there any young, good Argentine drivers who can become Formula 1 drivers? Long question.
Yes. Dice que la primera década de la Fórmula 1 fue la década de oro para el automovilismo argentino. Dice, bueno, después lo tuvimos a Fangio, a Lole, el último que ganó.
Él dejó en el 57.
Fangio. Después tuvimos a Lole, que la última vez que ganó fue en el 82.
Correcto.
Y él le pregunta ahora si usted ve que hay algún piloto joven, talentoso argentino que pudiera correr en Fórmula 1.
Acá en Argentina, bueno, acá hay muchos talentosos, muchos talentosos. Vino después la época de Reutemann, cuenta, así que te podés imaginar que...
¿Algún nombre que usted sepa que usted diga
acá, Pepe? Acá había uno o dos que... Pechito López.
Pechito López.
Lo hizo todo. Los Tex lo hizo todo cuando ganó a Alonso el campeonato del mundo.
He tested, Pechito tested when Alonso won the last championship, his last championship.
Okay, between the old Nürburgring and the old Spa, which track did you enjoy more?
Entre el viejo Nürburgring y el viejo Spa, ¿cuál es el que disfrutó más manejar?
Ferrari 4 litros y medio.
¿Pero en qué circuito? ¿En el de Nürburgring?
En Inglaterra gané 5 veces. Dos por el campeonato del mundo y después por el campeonato europeo gané 2 veces más.
¿Pero en cuál pista le gustaba más manejar?
Me gustaban todas, Monza, Nürburgring me gustaba. O Bélgica.
Okay, this year at Silverstone, Alonso drove your 1951 Ferrari before the British Grand Prix. I'm not sure if you have seen the video, but what do you think of today's Formula 1 drivers and machines?
Este año en Silverstone, Alonso manejó la Ferrari del 51 antes del Gran Premio. ¿Lo vio? No, sí, usted lo salió en la tele. ¿No me acuerdo? ¿No le salió en la tele?
Estuvo comentando
usted ese día. No fue hasta allá, pero estuvo.
Este es Alonso.
Sí.
Y este es el auto. Este es el mismo auto.
Sí, Alonso. Yeah. And his.
Ahora le voy a dar una cosa de esto. Esto.
Oh, and I want a signature too, please.
Una para cada uno.
Bueno. Yeah.
Así que esta fue. Y acá dentro hay cosas importantes que le puede servir bastante para hacerle una buena nota a ustedes. Y Alonso, ese día,
sí,
que me dedico, ganó y me dedicó el triunfo a mí.
Claro.
Con el, sí, de Fórmula 1.
Sí, sí, sí. Alonso won that day, yeah, and he dedicated the win.
Yeah. Yeah.
Y la pregunta era, ¿qué piensa de los pilotos y de los autos de hoy de la Fórmula 1?
Todo esto, a esto. Mirá, todo esto se maneja con teclas, ¿viste? Sí. Tienen que... Así que yo con eso... En los 50, yo te voy a contar lo que me pasó en los 50 años. Los 50 años con Schumacher. Él quería que en los 50 años que yo manejara el auto que yo había ganado la primera carrera, ¿no?
Uh-huh.
Y entonces estaba mi hijo que hacía la de traductor. Y le digo, mira, decirle a Schumacher que primero que toque una tecla y capaz voy para atrás en vez de para ir para adelante, ¿te das cuenta? Entonces yo, déjame con las viejas, que yo a las viejitas las entiendo, con la palanquita abajo, ¿viste? Y todos los casilleritos, ¿viste?
He was talking about the 50th anniversary of Ferrari, and he was with Michael Schumacher, and he said that Michael Schumacher had to tighten because he drove very, very different, because the cars were very different.
¿Sabes lo que pasa? Que primero, que no entro, porque nosotros vamos sentados como acá.
He doesn't fit in the car.
¿Te das cuenta? Y esto es nuevo, hay que hacerse todo, meterse para adentro. ¿Cómo entro ahí adentro?
Yes, yeah, the copy is very different now from the...
Can we ask him how he got the nickname Pampa's Bull, and if that bothered him in the media? You know, his nickname was Pampa's Bull, how he got that name, and did that name bother him when he was racing?
Me pregunta si le molestaba que lo llamaran el Pampa's Bull.
No. Okay, good. Okay.
El Pampa las Toro.
El toro de las pampas. En Spanish es el toro de las pampas. Pero el cabezón le decían.
¿Eh?
El cabezón también le decían.
Sí, el cabezón también.
The fat head.
El Fangio era el chueco y yo el cabezón.
Sí, Fangio chueco, el chueco, yeah, nickname. Yeah. And él el cabezón.
Yeah.
The fat head.
Okay, Latin America has produced many great history-making racing drivers since the beginning. May I get your opinion on Ayrton Senna, please?
Dice que en América Latina, bueno, ha producido muchos muy buenos pilotos desde sus comienzos. ¿Y cuál es su opinión que tiene de Ayrton Senna?
¿Sobre los pilotos actuales? No.
Sobre Ayrton Senna.
Ayrton Senna, extraordinario. Nosotros lo conocimos bien, se mató en Imola.
Uh-huh.
Así que estábamos con Fangio.
He was extraordinary. He was with Fangio there in Imola.
No, no, esa carrera no estaba. En otra carrera. Ese día no estaba. Estábamos en otra que ganó él, en Imola. Y después se mató ahí. Gran piloto. Muy buen piloto. Había muy buenos. Jack Stewart, Licky Lauda, Ascari, Farina.
There was great driver.
De los viejos no queda ninguno.
The old drivers, nobody is there now.
De los viejos no queda el único.
Usted, Pepe.
El único más.
The only one is Pepe.
Pepe, yeah.
The old driver,
yeah.
Nobody here.
Yeah. De que abrimos el campeonato del mundo, que hace 61 años, el único que estoy vivo soy yo.
From the beginning of the championship, he is the only one.
Yeah. And he's also the oldest race winning driver now, right?
What?
The oldest race winning
yes,
driver.
Yes.
Okay. Among the young drivers today, who do you like between Sebastian Vettel?
Y el más joven de todo era yo.
He was the youngest.
Tengo 89, nací en el 22. El más chico era yo.
He was born in 1922.
Los otros eran todos más viejos. El Fangio del 11, yo soy del 22.
Mm-hmm.
Todos los
otros. I was born in 1911.
Y Lorenzi, Ascari, todo.
Among the young drivers today, who do you like?
De los pilotos de hoy, ¿cuál le gusta más? Vettel, Alonso.
Hay 5 o 6 pilotos muy buenos, muy buenos.
5 o 6 good drivers.
Anda muy bien el Bennett, anda muy bien, Vettel. Muy bien. Después tiene 23 años.
He's young, he's 53. Vettel.
23, yeah. Cumplió 23 ahora.
Uh-huh.
Y después Alonso también tiene mucha experiencia, campeón del mundo 2 veces. Y está ahí para pelear otra vez el campeonato. Pero hay que ver. Bueno, de afuera es fácil. Vamos a ver cuando llegue la madera cuadra.
Now, are you following Formula Watch races still when they happen, Formula One races?
Dice si mira todavía las carreras y sabe lo que pasa.
La de acá, la de Europa, todas.
Yes, now he is the Monza Grand Prix.
Este premio de Schumacher se lo entregué en Monza.
That trophy he gave to Schumacher.
El séptimo campeonato.
Oh, wow. Now, when was the last Grand Prix you attended, Formula One race?
¿Cuál fue el último gran premio al que fue? Al que fue en persona, el último.
Ah, ya. Sí. Me parece que fue ese. No. Después he ido muchas veces a Italia, sí.
Sí, pero... sí, no, pero a un gran premio.
¿A un gran premio? ¿A Italia?
A donde sea, el último que haya ido.
No, fuimos...
yo no fui a la carrera.
No fui en la fiesta de Ferrari, el último, como es.
No, pero a ver una carrera.
Ah, a ver una carrera, no.
¿Al último cuál fue? ¿Ese?
Este.
Italia.
Este,
pero tengo el problema.
Y
no me acuerdo ahora cuál número era este.
Sí.
En el libro. Es fácil sacarlo.
It was his last camp.
Oh, that one. Okay.
50th Ferrari celebration.
Okay. You know, we do a show from America. Have you raced in America? And what was your impression of racing in America if you raced there?
Okay. Which races?
Any race. Sports car race.
Ah, ¿qué piensa del automovilismo acá en Latinoamérica?
En Estados Unidos.
Mira, Pepe, algo de Estados Unidos.
Sí, en Estados Unidos también miro las carreras por televisión.
¿Qué mira? NASCAR.
Sí, pero es una cosa diferente, es otra manera. Y creo que ahora se pasó otra vez la Fórmula 1 en Estados Unidos.
Sí, el año que viene,
¿viste?
Yes, he talked about the US Grand Prix next year.
Sí, se va a hacer otra vez de vuelta.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Entró a Estados Unidos. Pero hay tantas carreras. Para el año que viene creo que son más de 20 carreras. Más, 22, 23.
¿En dónde?
En todo el mundo. Para el año que viene.
Ah, 20 por lo menos.
20, por lo menos hay 20. Fácil. Porque algunas han caído, ¿viste?
Uh-huh. Sí, en Turquía.
Okay.
Veo que vos estás al tanto.
Y con Donadei, ¿cómo no voy a estar al tanto con Donadei?
Your Formula One career was very impressive. 26 starts, almost half of the races. You started from front row and finished on podium in more than half the races. Apart from your Grand Prix victories, what races you remember most for your performance on that particular day?
Dice que su carrera en Fórmula 1 es muy importante. Uno mira las estadísticas y realmente uno se queda sorprendido porque tiene 26 largadas, casi la mitad de las carreras, largó desde la primera fila, terminó en el podio más de la mitad de las carreras. Dice, aparte de las que usted ganó, ¿qué otros recuerdos tiene de qué carrera usted más se acuerde hoy?
Mira, recuerdo cuando a los 60 años, hoy casualmente, si tenemos una carta de dónde, de Austria, todos los días recibimos cartas. Ahora para los 60 años.
Recibe lots of letters from anywhere. He received one of Austria.
Mira, y lo mandan la plata de eso, ¿ves? ¿Qué
mandan?
A ver.
¿Qué
es? La respuesta postal.
He sent a picture, Froilán signed the picture, and they sent again the picture. Send back, okay?
He's still getting fan mail?
Yes.
Where does most of the fan mail come from? Curious.
El país más curioso de que haya llegado. ¿Qué país raro vino de una carta?
¿Cómo quería?
¿De qué país?
De todo. Mira, de todo, ¿a dónde viene más?
De Alemania, Italia.
De Alemania, ¿no? De Alemania... De Inglaterra y de Italia también.
United Kingdom.
Pero vienen de mira, wow. todo eso, mira lo que ha llegado últimamente. Mira todo lo que hay que mandar de vuelta.
Now, can you tell us where this mail is from? What countries, please? And your name, please.
Switzerland.
Esa que está ahí adentro.
Germany. Czech Republic.
Hola.
Slovakia.
Wow.
Mira. Now you know.
Esa que te dije ahí, esa foto que está ahí,
listo.
Mira.
Wow.
Mira. La 24
de la noche.
Yo.
Him.
Mi señora.
His wife.
Que se me murió. Una tía mía y todos los mecánicos atrás. Esto es lo con. Después de ahí, lo recibió el presidente de la República de Francia. Salimos todos en caravana.
Mrs. Le Mans.
Para Le Mans, correcto. Esta es una foto que recibimos ahora.
Now my question is, he has a lot of fan mail from Germany. He never raced a Mercedes. What's the reason behind that? How comes so much mail from Germany?
Okay. Porque dice que recibe muchas cartas de Alemania, pero usted nunca corrió para Mercedes.
No, pero lo mismo. Mira, hablando de Mercedes. Mira lo que me manda el presidente Mercedes.
El presidente Mercedes.
Mira, acá está. Mira, los 60 años. Y acá está.
The picture.
Yeah. El presidente Mercedes que se cumplió 60 años en Argentina. Y me mandó el presidente hace 3 días que recibí este cuadro. Wow. Y acá me pone todo, a ver.
Can you say what?
Everybody loves.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's so he's so adoring. Yeah.
Mira, y acá está la foto que yo te di.
Okay, now we have a lot of trophies. Can you tell him, ask him, please, which one are most important to him, very dear to him?
Dice que tiene muchos trofeos acá, que para usted cuál es el más importante de todos estos.
Son todos importantes, querida, porque. Porque te podés imaginar que tanta historia, tantas cosas. Toma.
Okay, you have a trophy here from Monterrey, Mexico. What kind of race was this?
Pregunta qué tipo de carrera es esa. ¿Cómo es esa?
Las 500 millas de Rafaela. Gané dos veces, dos veces consecutivo.
This is a race of here. The 100 miles of Rafaela.
Oh, not in Monterrey, Mexico.
No,
it's Rafaela. Rafaela, okay. Yeah, I see Rafaela.
Argentina. Okay. Yeah, it's a cigarette, Monterrey.
Yeah, okay.
Rafaela,
okay. No, yo ni veo de acá, chico.
Okay.
No veo, así que.
Rafaela,
1950. Yeah, okay.
But Rafaela is a city of Argentina.
Yeah, okay. What do we have here?
Fangio, Froilán y Rosier, de francés. Yeah, yeah. Corrimos las 500 millas de Rafaela. En el año 49.
59.
50?
That race.
59.
Okay, will you please ask him to tell us something, you know, some interesting experience he had with Ferrari or Fangio? Any story that he can share with us in the moments?
Dice si tiene alguna anécdota, alguna experiencia que recuerde, de que a usted más le gusta que recordar siempre de cuando corría, de su experiencia en Ferrari o en la Fórmula 1 en general.
No, mira, nosotros siempre hemos tenido una línea con Fangio más o menos parecida, ¿viste? Los dos teníamos una línea. Yo sé que se peleaban entre los mecánicos y todas esas cosas. Nosotros nunca entramos en ningún lío de mecánicos ni nada, ¿te das cuenta? Había mucha competencia en esa época, ¿no? Vos sabés que como estábamos enfrentados, Ferrari, Maserati y Alfa Romeo, siempre hemos estado la primera carrera que corro con Fangio, compañero, fue en el año 50, la 24 horas de Le Mans.
He talked about his relationship with the drivers and the mechanics. I mean, they compete each other, but they always have a good relationship, and it was the most important for him.
No,
there was una historia es con Gordini, con Amadeo.
¿Qué pasó?
Hizo un Fórmula 1, ¿vos sabés lo que hizo?
¿Qué hizo?
Y le puso unos guardabarritos y puso una motorquita como lleva un muñeco, ¿viste?
Sí.
Era un Fórmula 1 y le metió un compresor a un 1500 con esa ruedita y la filita así. Íbamos primero en la categoría, íbamos a los 12 en la general, y andaba Juan, iba a subir yo y por ahí viene, se le partió el motor. Se cayó una válvula adentro, Rafa, se terminó la carrera.
Okay, did you like racing at Reims? The French track Reims, called Reims?
Era un Fórmula 1 disfrazado. Fórmula 1 disfrazado, de las que corrían en la Fórmula 1. El agarró, le puso unos guardabarritos, ¿viste?
Sí.
Y le puso un poquito más ancho para poner una butaquita, por el reglamento. ¿Qué va a meter ahí a nadie?
The Reims, what do you want to know about Reims?
Did he like racing there, dead long
straight? Ah, sí, le gustaba correr en Reims.
Allá tenés, aquella carrera. En aquella que está allá, contra los Mercedes. Allá lo tenés. Los venía agarrando a Fangio y al otro ya lo había pasado y lo iba agarrando a Fangio. Y se me rompe el motor de la Ferrari.
En Reims. There was a very famous engineer, Gioacchino Colombo. Did you work with him?
Sí, trabajó con Gioacchino Colombo.
Sí. Colombo.
Buen mecánico.
Trabajé con él, trabajé con Lambretti, con todo.
He works with Lambretti, with everybody.
Was Carlo Kitty around when you were racing?
¿Quién?
Carlo Kitty.
Carlos Kitty?
Carlo Kitty.
Kitty?
Yeah.
Sí, también me suena. Carlos. No.
Okay, maybe after his time. Yeah. Maybe after your time, Carlo Kitty. Big, big fat.
Sí.
Italian guy.
Kitty.
Carlo Kitty.
Carlo Kitty.
Yeah. Yeah, probably after your time.
¿No era de la Mercedes?
No, Ferrari. Alfa Romeo, Ferrari.
Alfa Romeo. Ah, sí, sí, ahora sí. Ahora sí. Porque estaba el gordo, el que estaba en Mercedes. No, madre, el que bajaba la bandera, ¿te acuerdas? Ese estaba.
He downed the flag?
No, he was an engineer.
Ingeniero de Ferrari.
Yeah. Maybe after his time, it's possible.
Trabajó en Ferrari, me parece.
Okay, we want him to give a. We have.
Sí, sí, sí.
Okay. Please ask him. Please ask him. We have listeners all over the world. Any message he would like to give to racing fans all over the world?
¿Algún mensaje que le quiera dar a todos sus fanáticos alrededor del mundo?
Darles un fuerte abrazo y todas las cosas que estoy recibiendo por día. Y bueno, mientras siga vivo, espero que mandarles a todos los que me están pidiendo todas las cosas que me llegan todos los días. Así que les voy a contestar a todos. Mira qué mensaje.
Hugh Hub, and well, he expected to receive a lot of letters as now, and he expected to answer them, all of them. Okay?
Ya cuando esté allá abajo, no.
Because when he's dead, no.
yeah, not possible.
But you know,
I'll leave this thing running. If you want to ask him some question, we'll record some conversation as we are talking. Do you have any? Yeah. Do you have any questions for him? Anything you want to ask him?
Yo quiero agradecerle a él, a vos.
A vos.
No, I want to thank you. No, it's no. Honor, great honor to meet you.
De venir de tan lejos, pasarme una nota, así que te.
Because you
travel
from
somewhere. Yeah, I came from California to see you.
Yeah. No, yes. No.
Yeah.
Estoy contento que hayas venido con mucho gusto y bueno, y estoy a tus órdenes mientras yo te pueda.
Yeah. Will you please tell him that I saw Fangio drive a Mercedes at Laguna Seca in like 1991?
Él vio al sobrino de Fangio manejar en Laguna Seca. ¿En cuándo?
Ah, sí, 1991.
En el 90-91. Lo vio él, estuvo con
Juan Manuelito.
Con Juan Manuelito.
No, Juan Manuelito.
Juan Manuelito.
¿Lo viste a Fangio también? Ah, a Fangio también.
Maestro.
Porque Manuelito corrió en Laguna Seca.
Yeah, he was racing in America, but his uncle was there also.
Hemos sido muy unidos con Fangio, con Juan Manuelito, porque corría con los camiones de Mercedes.
Claro, with the truck in Mercedes.
Yeah.
He drove.
Yeah, the old Mercedes.
Yeah.
Claro.
Fantastic.
Jose, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Fisichella, and you are listening F1 Weekly.
Tech Talk with Tim now.
Greetings, petrol heads. Today I'm here to discuss the lifeblood of every Formula One engine, fuel. F1 fuel, according to Formula1.com, is, quote, surprisingly close to the composition of ordinary, commercially available petrol. Another interesting fact on the website states, quote, it was not always so. Early Grand Prix cars ran on a fierce mixture of powerful chemicals and additives, often featuring large quantities of benzene, alcohol, and aviation fuel. Indeed, some early fuels were so potent that the car's engine had to be disassembled and washed in ordinary petrol at the end of the race to prevent the mixture from corroding it. Since modern Formula One fuel and everyday passenger car fuel are so similar, we can talk about both. One question you might have about fuel is, at the pump, what do the different numbers mean? Great question. This requires a little background information first. Racing and passenger car engines are called four-stroke engines. A stroke refers to the motion of a piston in a cylinder, either up or down, and in a four-stroke engine, the piston moves up and down twice per cycle. The first stroke is called the intake stroke. The piston moves down, creating open space inside the cylinder, which is filled with air and fuel. The open space inside the cylinder is called displacement. And an engine's displacement is simply the volume multiplied by the number of cylinders in the engine. Next, during the compression stroke, the piston moves back up and compresses the air-fuel mixture. This compressed mixture is then ignited, forcing the piston back down during the power stroke. Finally, the piston returns upward and forces the exhaust gases out of the cylinder during the exhaust stroke. At that point, the cycle repeats, and another intake stroke begins. So ignition happens once every other downward stroke in a four-stroke engine. In high-performance engines, the fuel-air mixture is compressed to a very high degree, which is known as a high compression ratio in engineering terms. High compression means maximum power for a given engine displacement, which is important in racing because displacement is often limited, for example, to 1.6 liters in Formula One. But high compression ratios are challenging for an important reason. When put under high compression, a fuel-air mixture may ignite without a spark. Normally, the spark plug creates ignition as the piston is moving downward. But if ignition occurs prior to the spark plug firing, during the compression stroke, the piston will still be traveling upward, and the force of the ignited mixture will be pushing against the motion of the piston. This is obviously counterproductive. To prevent ignition during the compression stroke, a fuel must be used which is more difficult to light on fire. This doesn't mean that the fuel provides less power as it burns, but rather that there is a higher threshold of pressure and heat needed to set the fuel on fire, so that the spark plug drives ignition, not compression of the fuel and air. The measure of difficulty in igniting the fuel is measured in the octane rating, which is a number you've seen if you've ever been to a gas station, which you have. This value ranks the compressibility of a fuel on a scale from 0, which corresponds to pure N-heptane, to 100, which corresponds to pure isooctane. Octane ratings above 100 are possible with additional additives. I'll leave you to research most of the details on your own, but heptanes have 7 carbon atoms per molecule, while octanes have 8, and molecules with fewer carbon atoms typically combust more easily, which is why a fuel closer in performance to pure octane will prevent early combustion better than one performing like heptane. So what does this mean for you at the pump? Well, if you drive a car that places the fuel-air mixture under high compression, you'll need a high-octane fuel to prevent your ignition from occurring early and working against the motion of the piston. In an engine with a lower compression, a lower octane, more easily combustible fuel is just fine. High octane fuel will still work, but you're paying extra for purity that your engine doesn't need. In F1 fuels, the octane rating is very highly monitored to achieve consistency. A lot of engine development is concentrated on timing the ignition at a precise instant to extract maximum energy from the fuel and convert it to mechanical energy. By my calculations, there are about 60,000 ignitions per engine per lap. Variations in octane mean that the timing cannot be perfect. And as we all know, when the difference between a poor lap and a spectacular lap is a fraction of a second, any deficiency in those 60,000 ignitions could spell disaster. That's it for today. Thanks for listening, and this is Tim reminding you to enjoy octane responsibly.
Tim, thanks for another outstanding Tech Talk.
And now, another outstanding Nasser Hamid interview, and of course, this is with former Formula One driver with Jordan, interesting character, Naren Karthikeyan. Nas, introduce this gentleman.
Yes, sir, Naren Karthikeyan. He is from the South Indian city of Chennai, previously known as Madras, and now a major IT and racing hub of Indian motorsports. Naren's racing education started at the age of 16. He was on the Clark Rogers program. He went to France to attend the famous Winfield Racing School. In 1994, he won the Formula Ford Winter Series in UK. 1996, he was Formula Asia champion. In 1999, he gave Trevor Carlin's team their first Formula 3 victory. In 2005, he became the first and so far the only Indian driver to ever race in F1, which is a very impressive feat, I must say. In 2006, he was test driver at Williams. Lately, he has been very competitive in the A1 GP series and has scored 2 wins for them. My thanks to Naren for his time at Le Mans, and F1 Weekly would like to wish him for the success in his career. And I hope our listeners enjoy this conversation. Thank you.
Okay, folks, I'm here at Le Mans with Naren Karthikeyan from India. Naren, thank you for your time. How are you today, sir?
Yeah, it's been a baptism of fire, Le Mans, for a rookie. It's pretty daunting, but I'm up for the challenge. Obviously, the R10 is a successful car. Maybe not the quickest on the circuit, but has a lot of good reliability. So, really looking forward to driving the Audi R10 for the 24 hours, and we will be, keenly watched from India. We have a lot of support, and I'm very happy to be the first Indian to be driving here. And this is a great opportunity, and I'll try and do the best I can.
What is the biggest adjustment you are facing or challenge in adjusting? Because most of your background is open wheel racing.
Yeah, single seater has been my key, racing for a long time. But This is my second race in this category, but nothing prepares you for the Le Mans unless you do it, and the next time you do it, you'll be more experienced, and that could be, the first year is always going to be the most difficult one.
And how did this deal come about? Did Dr. Colin Collis call you, or you approach them? Can you give us a little background, please?
Well, I've known Dr. Collis for a long time in my Formula 1 days and Formula 3 days. So, obviously, we kept in touch. And when the opportunity came up, he gave me a call. And, nobody would want to resist the offer to drive the R10. So, I was here.
Now, you talk about support in India. There's a Formula 1 race coming up there. How big is the interest in motor racing among general public? I mean, will we see an average Indian more interested in Formula 1 than cricket in the next few years?
Well, that's a long, long shot. But what I can tell you is there's a lot of interest in Formula 1 and motor racing, you know, whole A1GP also because we are a front-running team, the A1 Team India. So there's a lot of following and there's a lot of support for me as well. It should never be as popular as cricket because cricket is, they say it's a religion in India. But, Formula One and other forms of motorsport are getting decent exposure. And I think in the near future we'll have a lot more Indian drivers coming into the international racing scene.
You mentioned A1GP. The car is very nice looking, light blue color. It reminds me of the old Matra car. And you had your first win in Shanghai, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
How big was that for Indian motorsports and for you personally?
Yeah, the win in China gave us a huge boost. That was the end of 2007. And then we again won in England in Brands Hatch in 2008. So it was fabulous, and then the economic downturn, we kind of struggled this year with the finances of the team and everything, but we're trying to restructure it and put it together, and the new A1GP Ferrari car is awesome to drive, and we are hopefully going to get a strong team put together for the forthcoming season.
When you first moved from India to England, I believe you were with Carlin Motor Racing Team. Were you surprised at the difference in, obviously the depth of competition was greater, but was there a big difference in the competitiveness of racing drivers from what you were used to in India and Southeast Asia?
Sure, I was racing in England before I raced in Asia, so I knew what to expect, but my big break was, I think the confidence and everything came when I won in Formula 3 in England. All the great drivers, Adam Senna, so many of them have graduated through the British Formula 3 Championship. And I went about won some races there, competing with Sato, Jenson Button, and beating them in occasions. I think that gave me the confidence to go to the next level. And I definitely thought I had a crack at Formula 1. And then the dream came true in 2005.
Now, if I remember, there was quite a bit of exchange of words between your camp and the team. There was some tension. Looks like they were trying to get rid of you or whatever it was. What happened there, if you could talk a little bit about there, please?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's just some speculation, and I think it got all out of proportion. But we, as I told you, we had a great relationship with the team, and that's all I can say.
Okay. Now, you had a huge crash. I was watching this race live in China. Tell us a little bit about that.
It's a long time ago, but I just got it wrong, and the tires were not up to temperature, and I had a crash, so it wasn't nothing too just dramatic from the outside, but not from the inside.
Okay, another reference to in the media. Media may say something that you may not say. There were also some reports that you don't want to drive for Vijay Mallya's team because it's a back-of-the-bus operation. Any truth to that report?
No, I mean, I said what I have to say because, they didn't want me. And it wasn't that I was going and asking for a drive anyways. And so he kept referring to Karun and I are not good enough or whatever. So, again, it got out of proportion in the media because you say something and it's not portrayed in that manner, and it's kind of speculated. So it when it comes up, it feels really dramatic, but it's not that bad, to be honest.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, and that's why I'm asking you. Okay, now, what is the game plan for next season, if you have some agenda going on right now, if you could talk about it, please?
Well, my management is trying to do something, we keep everything open, NASCAR is a possibility as well, so...
You're making history everywhere, man.
Yeah, so this is, the Formula One races have gone there, and kind of doing decent. So I would, you know, this is something that my management is working on.
You know, I would love to see you at Indy someday, because that will really make a huge, huge statement. What do you think?
For sure. I mean, it's one of the, you know, one race, like, it's like the Le Mans. It's such a big, you know, history behind it, and, you know, love to do it. As a racing driver, when you grow up as a kid, you watch the Le Mans, the Monaco, and the Indy 500, so, you know, why not?
Okay. Coming from India, South Asia, there's a lot of growing interest in motor racing right now, and I'm sure in due course they will catch up with other countries. What is the better advice you can give to youngsters in that part of the world?
I mean, it's pretty difficult to take this up as a career option, but when I started 15 years ago, there was no chance, it looked like, but I proved them, you know, proved we could make it to the top and be competitive and everything, so where there's a will, there's a way.
Finally, how about a message for listeners of F1 Weekly? We have listeners everywhere, including your country.
Yeah, I think, what can I say? I have, you know, if you have, I think you have to focus on something and go after it till you get it. That was my motto, and, you know, I've, you know, living my dream now, and, you know, that's what I would like to say for everyone.
One last question. Is Dr. Collis also a good dentist?
I believe so, yes.
he's never pulled your tooth?
On my teammate, yes, but not me, but, yeah, he's quite a good dentist, apparently.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank nice meeting you. All the best.
Narain, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com. And now let's go right into the wrap-up. We had to record this program a little early, so we won't have the forum updates. I apologize to everybody. And I also want to apologize on the lateness of our last weekend's special. Of course, that would be the interview with Jean-Pierre Beltoise in his beautiful Matra. But we had some technical difficulties. We're sorting it out, and we apologize. I know it's up now, but I promised earlier. But we'll see what happens. But thanks for your patience. We do appreciate it. So there you have it. Marin Karting is proud to organize and support the 2009 Jim Russell Northern California Rotax Series. Marin Karting offers CRG carts, engines, and parts for all carts, engine service, driver, coaching, and trackside support to Northern California carters. For more information, contact Marin Karting at 415-898-0999 or at www.marinkarting.com. Also, check out the San Francisco Formula One group. They will be at the Overtime Bar and Grill in beautiful downtown San Francisco. Just go to sff1.com. I also want to mention our MySpace and Facebook and Twitter sites. Twitter has been tweeting out of control. I mean, people are just joining us every day. It's extremely gratifying to tweet with fellow tweeters.
Are you going to tweet on your vacation?
I will tweet on my vacation and will Facebook, of course, because once a host of F1 Weekly, always a host of F1 Weekly.
No coup d'etat here.
No, exactly. Let's hope not. God, I hope I'm not coming back to Honduras here. But that's another podcast for another time. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, email us at info@f1weekly.com. I want to thank all the listeners that make this show possible. I want to thank everybody from Steve, Nasser, and myself. Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Keep up the good work, Nass. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break because we've got Motorsports Mondial coming up after this brief message.
Honesty is something we all look for, especially when it comes to auto service. Honest Engines Auto Service Tallahassee is where you'll find it. Since 2005, they've been delivering trusted, dependable service to Florida's capital. Honest Engines is your full-service auto repair center. Bumper to bumper, they have you covered. Honest Engines Auto Repair offers a variety of services. Transmission repair, oil change service, and much, much more. Don't let just anyone work on your car. Bring it to Honest Engines. They'll give your baby the care it deserves. They work closely with you to make sure you know what's being done. With Honest Engines, you don't have to guess what their team is doing. Their highly experienced and certified technicians know just what your car needs, and they'll make sure you do too. So if you're in the Tallahassee area and you need auto repairs, give Honest Engines a call. 850-421-8461. And tell them F1Weekly.com sent you. Honest Engines Auto Repair. Right on the corner, right on the price. 718 Gay Street, Tallahassee.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host.
For all your Formula One needs. Trou de cul, pourquoi te plains-tu? N'es-tu pas bien au milieu de mes fesses? Trou de cul, pourquoi te plains-tu? N'es-tu pas bien au milieu de mon cul?